Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We give you honor and praise. We thank you for your people that are gathered together. Unto you shall the gathering of the people be. And indeed, we have gathered unto you. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. It's simple. Receive that light and let us hear. The Bible says, let everyone that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Huh? Glory to God. We pray, Lord, that you will hear what the Spirit is saying. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, because of where we are, yesterday we did a very short crossover segment because we were at the end. Yesterday we were at the end of the first half of the year, and today we're at the beginning of the second half of the year, and the Lord has a prophetic word for you. That's right. So we're going to do this today. We'll pick up the, you know, according to the power that dwells in us series later, but today, because of the day that it is, Holy Spirit wants me to bring you this message today. So, are you ready? Well, our message today is titled The Season of Rest and Spiritual Engagement. Prepare. That's right. Prepare! You know, the Spirit and the Bride saying the same thing. Even now, yeah, prepare. And the Lord wants you get ready. Get ready for something in particular right now. But get ready. Now, I want to tell you the word of the Lord today. And we're going to start it off from a couple of verses that we will read. Powerful verses to kick this off. And we're going to see, you know, what the Lord is saying to us. Praise the Lord. I start from in the book of two verses or two scriptures, one from Leviticus and one from Numbers that we are going to read together today. The first one I'm reading from King James. The first one is taken from Leviticus chapter 23. Praise the Lord. And we're going to read from verse 24. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Well, that was the children of Israel. I think the Lord is saying for us also to speak to the people of the Walking with God family, saying, in the seventh month and the first day of the month, as it is today. Well, what is the Lord saying on this seventh month, first day? On this first day of this seventh month, what is it that the Lord is saying? Well, he said, ye shall have a Sabbath. That's a time of rest. You shall have a time of rest. Well, he called it a memorial because it's something that you're going to remember. The blowing of trumpets, they usually blew the shofar to announce different things. You blow it a certain way, it means something. You blow it another way, it means something else. Well, this one said, blow it so that it means a holy convocation. I'm going to be talking about what convocation means. And I'm going to be talking about, you know, the Sabbath and the season that we are in. Because God's calling for it. Praise the Lord. Now, furthermore, the Lord tells us in the book of Numbers chapter 21. So these are the key texts that we're using today, Numbers 29 and verse 1. Again, the Lord says, you know, and in the seventh month, on the first day of that seventh month, such as today. What is it that the Lord wants us to say? Well, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing of the trumpets unto you. Now, the servile work is heavy burdens. That's what it means. So prepare your heart for a time of release from the Lord, starting today. Now, this is a prophetic declaration for everyone that will receive it today. First off, the call to a holy convocation. Yeah, that means it's not just a human idea, it's a divine call. God is calling for it, not just my idea. You know, I was going to do something else on the power series. That's what I was going to continue today. As a matter of fact, I told you that yesterday. I was going to continue the power series today. But Holy Spirit said, today, being the first day of the seventh month, you're going to do this. So here we are. Praise the Lord. Let's take advantage of the season that we are in and what God is calling. It is a summons. That's right. A holy convocation is a summons. You might call it a, well, in those days, it was a physical assembly. This one is more or less a spiritual assembly. Yeah. Physical in the sense that, you know, we come together into a place, but more spiritually. Spiritual connection. Now, in the book of John 6 and 63, Jesus made a powerful declaration that I often refer to. He said, look, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and flesh. I mean, spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. So what does that mean? It means even if we gather together in the flesh, physically, and there's no spiritual gathering in that context, and the Spirit of God is not moving, it'll profit nothing. Or you can say, when you are present, listening to a message such as this, yeah, you can be present, but if you are not present, and that's right. So you can be present, but if you don't engage in the Spirit, you're going to miss what the Lord is doing or saying. Now, it's not a call for everybody. Today is a call for people that need rest. Matthew 11 and 28. All ye that labor and need rest. It's not a call for everybody. If you don't need it, it's not for you. But for those that need it, see, come, Jesus said, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, there's a season that God has called for it. Now, I usually don't like to talk too much about seasons unless I tell you also that God is not a seasonal God. He's always just the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. However, there are seasons in our journey that God allows for various reasons, such as Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. There are times of prosperity and there are times of adversity. God allows these things, puts them actually side by side for a purpose, you know. So seasons. And when God says it is, then it is. Now, so there are many times that God calls the people together. Joel calls them in chapter 1, chapter 2, blow the trumpet, gather the people, assemble the elders, you know, gather the youth, everybody, you know, stuff like that. Well, we do have a physical gathering that we've been talking about in September to remember event coming. Today, though, I want you to think of this. There's a purpose in this gathering today beyond what we thought, beyond at least what I thought. And there's a holy purpose. Holy convocation means there's a holy purpose. A time that is set apart, not just casually and, you know, not ordinary, but something that is deliberate. You set the time apart for reflection, for worship, repentance, renewal, all these things, you know, and that's it. There is a season that God is announcing starting today, on this first day of the seventh month. This month shall be a month of rest for you. In the book of Acts chapter 3, the scripture tells us about a time of refreshing. Well, there is a time of refreshing that the Lord can order. And if he orders it, well, he says, well, repent ye. This is part of the preparation that you do for that time of refreshing. Repent and be converted. Let your sins be blotted out. You know, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There's a time of refreshing. Many times of refreshing. Uses the word plural here. Times. And here is such a time of refreshing. Refreshing. What God is doing is, you know, calling you out of your usual daily routine. That's right. The routine, he said, look, let there be a pause. You know, stop the servile work. Stop that. Jesus said it himself, Mark 6 and 31. Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. Because there was a lot of things going on. And there was not even the leisure for them to stop and eat. People going, coming, and all these things. And Jesus practiced, you know, this time of a call out. He practiced it. He encouraged the disciples to do it. In fact, he did it with the disciples. When he said, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place for a while and rest. It wasn't just he that went, and it wasn't just the disciples. He did it with them. Now, this rest that God is telling us today, it's not a period of inactivity, you know. So it doesn't mean that at all. Rather than thinking of it as inactive, you're not doing anything, you're just there. No, think of it as an intentional spiritual engagement. Because that's what Jesus said in John 6 and 63. Say, unless you engage in the spirit, the flesh will profit you nothing. Even the rest that you think you want to get in the physical. Rest is good in physical. But it will not profit you very much if you don't engage it in the spirit. So it's not just a time of inactivity where you're just idle. You're just doing nothing. No. More than that, it's a time that you break away spiritually from routine. You know, routine that doesn't produce anything, you know, and get away from the burdens of, you know, you're constantly having to deal with the pressure of these burdens. today, beginning today, come unto me, Jesus said. You know, release yourself. Loose yourself from those bands that are around your neck. Release yourself and see, you know, what the Lord is going to do. It's a season, you know, that God wants to produce certain things. There are some things that work and labor and stress, you know, a drain from us. You know, Jesus said, look, you who are under this influence of work and labor and so on, you're physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually drained, come unto me, Matthew 11 and 28. So now, even in the physical realm, physical rest, you know, restores strength. We know that. You know, when you are weak physically, you get some rest. You get some rest. You gain back some strength. I mean, even if you are doing something strenuous, you take a short break, your strength returns. If you're going on a long trip that you are walking, like a trek, trekking, you know, if you are, you know, maybe you are going, you know, you just going for a long time, you know, when you stop for a while, you gain your rest, you know. So, if you're going on a long trail, and it's a long trail, and you get to a point where you are tired, rest a little bit, you know, rest a little bit. Then you gain back your strength. Everybody knows that. That's physically. So physical rest will restore our physical strength. Emotional rest will restore your peace from anxiety. You know, sometimes anxiety of, you know, am I going to pay my bills? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? You're worrying about somebody and worry about this or that thing and so forth. Emotional rest produces or restores. It doesn't produce, but it restores peace. Physical strength, physical rest also restores strength. Now, spiritual rest, on the other hand, restores this power that we're talking about. Remember, we're still in the series of power. It restores power and clarity, you know. So, and Jesus, that's why I told his disciples, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. Praise God. So, now, rest. When we are resting in the call of God, something that He does for us, it will realign us. It brings us into realignment. And that's really the call that we're making now. Since we are entering into this second half of this year, we're making a call for realignment. Realignment with God's voice. We've been talking about it. Obey His voice, and so forth. Walking in the Word. Well, you know, realign. In the rest, you will be able to hear God speaking more clearly. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19 and verse 12, I mean, we read the story of Elijah and the encounter and the experience. It's experience with the small, still voice or still small voice. There's a lot of things. There was the wind, there was the earthquake, there was the fire, there was all these things. Rending you know, apart of rocks and everything. Shattering things happening. The Lord was not in any of that stuff. But those things went before the Lord. you would have thought it was part of his entourage. I mean, the Lord, when he walks, you know, you expect thunder and lightning and all these things. In this particular case, God was trying to show us a lesson or teach us a lesson that God was not in it. You know, might have been in it, but this time around, he wasn't. The Lord was not in the noise. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. You know, he wasn't in any of those things. But when it came around to the still small voice, that's where the Lord was at. So this is it's a helpful lesson that, you know, rest sometimes allows us to hear him, disconnect from the noise. The Lord said to Elijah, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. See, the Lord passed by. So you would expect that anything that was happening while he was passing by was part of his passing by, and that he was in it. But he wasn't in this case. So he passed by, and there was a great and strong wind that rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord said, well, is not my word like a hammer in the book of Jeremiah 23? Is it not like a hammer? Is it not like a fire? My word not like that? But in this case, in this particular case, no. The Lord said, you just put those things out there. But the Lord himself wasn't in it, teaching us a lesson. Look for that still small voice and listen for it. You know, so the Lord, we're told, was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. I mean, earth-shattering experience. You would have thought the Lord was in that too. He wasn't. And said the Lord was not in the earthquake. One after the earthquake, there was a fire. We always expect the presence of the Lord with fire. The glory of God, fire, you know, and so on. Well, but the Lord was not in the fire. Why? Something he was trying to say. It's not really that he wasn't there, but the particular experience that was ordained for that moment was not in those things. That's what it means. You know, when God, yesterday I said, look, God deposits the power, but his presence activates it. You know, so I said that at the end of the lesson yesterday. So think of this. The presence of God, it may come in a still small voice. That's what's going to activate that power. You know, and there may be sometimes some other things. There may be illusions, really. They're not what God wants you to experience. There is an experience I want you to use. Someday, God might be in the fire. Someday, he might be in the wind and in the earthquake and all those things. But in this particular moment, God wanted Elijah to experience not the fire. And Elijah was used to calling down fire and stuff. And not all of that, you know, earth-shaking stuff. He wanted to experience the stillness. You know, so that's what God wants us to experience at times. It was a still small voice. It represents the rest. Elijah had been running and everything. He was weary, even despaired of life. He even wanted to die. He said, I'm not better than my fathers. You know, I'm the only one left. Why? Because God corrected him that you're not the only one left. You're never the only one left. God always has many people that you may not know about. You know, so, but he wanted him to experience that rest. Now you're going to get the clarity to understand God's call in that moment. There was a second call in Elijah's life that he was going to experience. And he was not going to get it in the wind. He was not going to get it, you know, whether it was a small wind, great wind, or strong wind. He wasn't going to get it in it. He wasn't going to get it in the earthquake. And he wasn't going to get it in the fire. Was going to be in this still small voice. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1. I mean, you read it from Isaiah 40, actually. Isaiah 41, verse 1 is actually a continuation of the end of Isaiah chapter 40. But the way they broke it up, it looks as if it's starting something new. No, it's really part. You know, it starts with, you know, giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increaseth strength. Even the youths shall utterly, you see, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run. You know, they shall run and they will not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. When you go hiking, it's a long distance, you get faint at times. And you rest a little bit, you renew your strength. Well, this scripture is telling us how to renew our spiritual strength. You go to the next chapter, verse 1. It says, keep silence before me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, islands, and let the people renew their strength. So this verse is really part of that last section. This is how you renew your strength. In the silence, you know, that's how you do it. Let them draw near, you know. Jesus said, come unto me. And that's how you renew your strength, in the silence. It's a place of rest that God is calling. That's a time of rest. It's an action that we must take. It's not just idleness. It's spiritual engagement or re-engagement in the things of the spirit. Disengagement from the noise and re-engagement in the things of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. You can't really know and experience this awesome knowledge unless you are first still. Be still. You know, so there is a shift that the trumpets announce, you know. Now, when the people are just doing stuff and all of a sudden they hear the trumpet, it creates a shift. A shift. It may be gathered to the solemn assembly, maybe gathered for a wedding. You got to blow the sound in a certain way. Otherwise, even Paul was talking about it. Who shall prepare himself for the battle? If you blow an uncertain sound, nobody understands what you are blowing. You know, so the trumpet signals new seasons, sometimes warnings, sometimes celebrations, sometimes, you know, different things. But today, the blowing, you know, just think of this as a call. The blowing of this trumpet is signaling this movement of the Spirit. There's a movement of the Spirit right now. Glory to God. And the movement is to move you into a place of rest. You know, sometimes it seems as if, what are you talking about? You know, well, the Bible says that there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. There's a rest. And there's call for rest. But how do you enter into that rest? It doesn't mean just do nothing. Yeah, I want to talk about that for a minute. Do nothing is not the real meaning of you know, this engagement. Because let's read it together. There is a rest. We're talking about a rest that was promised to the people and they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. Well, and then also seeing that, you know, there was a need for somebody to enter in, and the people to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He said, well, you know, they are imminent, therefore rest to the people of God. You know, there is rest for the people of God. But look at the next verse. Let us therefore labor. When he's telling you to rest, how can he be telling you to labor? It's like what we call an oxymoron. It's just opposite of what it's supposed to mean. Well, labor, Jesus said, strive not for that which perisheth, the meat that perisheth, but strive for that which endureth to eternal life. Labor, in other words, be spiritually engaged. So it's not just disengagement and idleness. You disengage from some things, but you physically, intentionally engage in worship, engage in prayer. We talk about that acronym, which I'll talk more about later. E is to engage in prayer. Engage yourself. You know, we talked about pursuing his presence. We talked about obedience. We talked about walking in the word and the spirit. We talked about engaging in prayer and releasing your faith. That's a power. Now, all of these things work together. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. You know, you have to strive. It's something you have to contend for. It's a spiritual engagement. It's not just a period of inactivity. It's a spiritual engagement. Now, as God is calling us, at this time, there's an announcement that I am making today. In the book of Numbers, chapter 10, I'm not going to go into that, but chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we see the trumpets are used for war, for worship, for feasts, for this. And it's a time of, you know, you can blow the trumpet for feasts. You can blow the trumpet for this and for that and so on. You know, there. So the trumpet call, which is a clarion call we're putting out today, is to stir something in your spirit. Expectation. Something is about to happen. Prepare. Something is about to happen. They're entering into a shift. Glory to God. You know. So don't think of the convocation and the call as something that is just passive. No. It's actually prophetic. It's a prophetic call that God is calling us to. Well, we must repent. We must, what do we repent of? We actually repent of our idleness in the spirit. The time that we, you know, wasted. He said, redeem the time. We repent of that. Repent of it. Cry aloud. Isaiah 58, verse 1. This chapter that has to do with fasting, we just finished a period of that. The first thing he says is, lift up your voice like a trumpet. That's a trumpet call. So God uses that, call us, you know, and so forth. Seasons, this season, he said, on this first day of the seventh month, announce, put out a call, sound the trumpet. That is a season of rest. He said, ye shall have a Sabbath. A Sabbath is a time of rest. Now, some people think Sabbath means time of worship. There's no such thing in the scriptures. The Sabbath is a time of rest. The day of the Sabbath was a day of rest. Wasn't it a day of worship? There's no such thing as a day of worship. Every day is a day of worship. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth every day. There's no day of worship. But there is a day of rest. Sabbath means rest. It's a day, it's a time of rest. Now, when you rest, does it mean you don't worship? No, absolutely. Absolutely the opposite. When you rest, you actually worship more. So the rest is to bring you into more of a place of worship, but it doesn't mean that the Sabbath means worship. The Sabbath means rest. Rest from your labors. He that is entered into God's rest has ceased from his labors, even as God did from his own. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. You know, now it is time for you to enter into the rest. Cease from the heavy burdens. It's not that the burdens are immediately lifted. It's that the effect of those burdens are shattered. The burdens may be there, but the effect is broken. That's right. You know, God breaks. He said, I break the gates and I cut asunder the bars. So it may still be there, but God breaks the effect. You know, so it doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, all of a sudden you quit your job, you know, so that you can go stay in one place. That's not what we're talking about. But saying, even while you have that, you know, it no longer has the same impact on you as it did before, where it drained you. You know, it drained you. When Paul was talking about be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4 verse 6. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. Don't let any, all these things, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the next verse, verse 7, is something powerful that he drops. He didn't say, and those burdens will be lifted. I mean, will be removed. The situation will automatically resolve. He didn't say that. He said that you will have peace. That's right. Even though the storm is still there, you have peace. The peace of God that passes understanding. And that's it. When God calls for it, nobody can understand. How can you have peace in the middle of all this stuff? Because God called for it. God said it's a time of rest for you. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, it's a time for you to lay your burdens down. That's right. Lay them down. Stop carrying the things, you know, that you couldn't even carry anyway. You couldn't carry them anyway. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord. You know, so this is a time for you to do that. It's a call for that. Prophetically, I'm going to release that even over the room in a few minutes when I finish the scriptures. First, we got to put out the scriptures. You know, Paul said, look, I don't want you to think, you know, that I'm coming to you with intellect and so forth. You know, not how well I can speak. That's why, you know, we always bring the scriptures. I don't take my word for it. We always put the scriptures out. Even though we know what the Spirit is saying, we got to put the scriptures out, yeah, so that you can see it from the scriptures. Because to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah 8 and 20, if they speak not according to this word, then there's no light in it. So we always put scriptures out. But there is a prophetic declaration for you today. Realign and do a reset. It's a spiritual reset. That's what rest does for us, like every night. It's like clockwork. You know, now people who should not, I mean, who work during the night because of their shift, sometimes their sleep schedule is messed up because even the scripture says they that sleep in the night. So God has wired this body like that. It will take some rewiring if you are doing the opposite. You are working in the night and trying to sleep in the day. It will take some time for your body to readjust to that. But maybe after a while, the day is now your night and your night is now your day and all of that, you know. And I know for me personally, if I don't sleep in the night, guess what? I still can't sleep in the day. That's it. You know, so unfortunately for me, that's just how my body is wired. If I don't sleep in the night, I still can't get any sleep during the day, you know. But God is calling for a reset. Just like your body goes through a reset. When you lay down at the end of the day, whatever your end of day is, to lay down to sleep, your body goes through a reset. God put even some natural healing in that process. That's why if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to be prone to many other ailments and sicknesses and things. You know, because the time when your body should have been resetting, you deprive the body of that reset. Same thing spiritually speaking. God's calling for a reset right now. We should be doing it every day, especially, you know, really. But today in particular, because of the significance of the first day of the seventh month, according to the scriptures, we're calling for a spiritual reset. It's a spiritual reset. You know, realign our priorities. Now, rest gives you an opportunity for you to discover your misplaced priorities. You know, let me tell you about one priority. Praise the Lord. You know, powerful, you know, share. My wife shared an experience that she experienced yesterday. It was like caught up in this glorious light. She was sleeping. She fell into this thing. And then all of a sudden, she was caught up. And it looked like it was a rapture. And whatever she tried to do, she couldn't do because she was sucked into the light. And I said, wow, that's powerful stuff, you know. And then I thought about it. I said, nothing else will matter. In fact, I'm coming out with a message on that. Nothing else will matter. You know, I was meditating on it. You know, when the rapture takes place, nothing else will matter for believers, especially believers who are left behind. If you were a believer, God forbid, and somehow you got left behind, nothing else will matter. Well, those that make it to, nothing else will matter. When Enoch was translated, that he should not see that, nothing else mattered. His wife didn't matter. His children didn't matter. You know, nothing else matters. When that happens, nothing else matters on either side. If you make it, nothing else matters. In fact, at that time, Enoch was no longer thinking about his wife. No longer thinking about his children. You know, there's all of that stuff that he might have been worrying about before. It's all gone now. You know. And if you don't make it, God forbid, nothing else is going to matter then too. You know, the stuff that we were chasing that made us to miss it is not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Say, wow. So everybody ought to pray and everybody got to get their act together because you don't want to miss. And it's the same thing, you know, there are smaller experiences of this great experience. You know, it's called the day of visitation. It's a smaller experience. You know, now, right now, God is calling for such. And if you miss it, well, you miss the moment. You know, so that's why we say prepare. This prepares you, this message prepares you on how to enter into God's rest. On a greater scale, it's the same message that prepares you how to enter into the translation. Same thing, you know. But the things that are, we're chasing, the thorns that Jesus said will choke this world out and all these things, and that moment comes, the Lord catches away the bride. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter anymore. You know, all that will remain is weeping and gnashing of teeth for anyone that missed it. And for the people that make it, all that they will remember is unimaginable joy. They won't even remember the sorrows, the pains. Nothing is going to matter on either side. So, right now, you know, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Praise God. This verse is telling us right now, seek first the kingdom of God. That's why we have to do a reset. Why am I saying all these things? We have to do a reset. At times, all the things that we are chasing, the heavy burdens and so forth, are preventing us, you know, from entering in, you know, into his presence like that. It's really not going to matter if we miss the most important things. So a time of rest, a time of realigning priorities. What are your priorities? What are the things that are important? This is the month of reflection. Not only is it a month of rest, it's also a month of restoration. It's a month of reflection. It's a month of realignment. A bunch of hours this month for you to reflect, realign, rest, restore, you know, and so forth. You know, God, all of these things, you got to think about it. Is it really worth it? Praise God. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? Gain the whole world and lose the most important things. So a time of rest is a time of reflection. It's a time of reflection. We need to reflect on what's most important. Praise the Lord. It's a time to reignite fresh fire. Praise God. A fresh fire, you know, it means refueling. It's a time for you to refuel, you know. So it doesn't necessarily mean the journey is over. It's a time of refueling. You know, there are some long, very long flights. If the aircraft can't make it in one shot, you know, they cut the journey into two. It's a layover somewhere. It's another layover. So while they are doing that, they're actually refueling the plane. Actually, why they do that. Yeah. But they build other things into it to take advantage of the fact that they have to do that. They pick up other passengers. Maybe some people will drop. But the real key thing is, you know, refuel the plane. Refuel the plane. Because they can't make it in one shot. You know, so a time of rest, you know, it's a little break from that journey. But it's not really a break. It's a refueling. They're refueling, getting ready. They may restock. They may bring, you know, additional refreshments into the plane. Some people already ate the first set of refreshments. They bring new refreshments into the plane, you know. And if it's a very, very long trip, they might even change the crew. Most of the time they don't. But, you know, they refuel. You may be in the plane not knowing what's going on. If you look outside the window, you will see that refueling is going on. I always do that, you know. So it's a time of refueling. It's a time that God's preparing us for greater works. That's right. Greater works after a season of rest. Greater works. You know, when you take a break, greater works. If you're playing, you know, there are some sports, you know, like basketball or whatever, you know, you play for so many minutes, you take a break, take a timeout, do this and this. And then whether you take a timeout or not, your team takes time. That's an official timeout. After 12 minutes, you got to take a break and then come back for another 12 minutes, come back and so on. You know, during that time, they go in the locker room, they regroup, they refresh. They plan new strategy for the next quarter and so on. So the time of rest is not just for us to do nothing. It's a time of regrouping and re-strategizing. It's hearing what the Lord is saying for the next phase of the journey. Praise God. Now, there's a blessing of obedience. And let me tie this back to our POWER. During the time of rest, the time you're pursuing His presence, you know, more so than ever before. And there is a time, you know, for everything. Now, it's also a call to obedience. That's the O. You know, the W is we were walking in the Word and Spirit. You got to hear that still small voice. We need to hear from you, Lord. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? You know, I want to hear your word. When you're not hearing your word, the word of the Lord, when the voice is silent, that still small voice, you can't hear it. Then you got to get away from everything in order for you to hear it. And you start by picking up the written word. That's right. The still small voice can come off the pages to your heart. But you start there. What has God already said in His word? You find that one out. You know, subscribe to the written word while you're waiting for the spoken word. Glory to God. Can't have it the other way around. He's giving you the written word. If you can't find an answer in that written word, you're not going to find it anywhere else. I can promise you that. That's how I've lived my life. I said, look, there's a question. There's no answer in the written word of God. That's a question that I don't need to know. You know, I don't need to know it if there's no answer in the word of God. I don't need to know it. I just forget it. You know, because there is an answer in the Bible. And Jesus said it. Search the scriptures. Paul said it to Timothy. You know, lay hold on the scriptures. Search the scriptures. In them is eternal life. They are the power of salvation. And also on and so forth. So, it's also a time of obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the word of God. You know, take time out. Hear what God is saying. See what God is saying. Praise God. You know. Now, it's a time of when you have that rest, a time of connecting with God's presence. The rest and the presence of God, they are interwoven. I mean, Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Those two things are interwoven. The presence of God, pursuing His presence, and rest, a season such as this. Those two things are interwoven. You can think of this rest that God is calling for in a season like this, on the first day of the seventh month, think of it as a time and a place of divine encounter with His presence. Praise God. God also releases. There are many things that He will release to you, just like the still small voice and so forth. You know, God will release revelation, instruction, strategy to you in the moment, inspiration. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch and hear what the Lord is saying unto me. I want to see, I want to hear, you know, but you got to get to a place, a vantage point. This man chose a vantage point. Well, David, sometimes his vantage point was by the still waters. He went back there even when he was faced with Goliath. He went back to the still waters to pick out some smooth stones. And the angel of the Lord told him, pick that one, pick that one, pick that one. You know, that you have that vantage point. Where is this? The place where I've chosen to put my name there. Where is the place where you connect with the Lord? Everybody should have such a place. And some people say, well, they have a family altar. Well, that's good. But there is a place for you, even as an individual, where you connect with the Lord. That may be a physical place, but I'm not talking just physical. It must be a divine connection in the spiritual realm. Something that triggers that for you. For some people, it's praise and worship. Some people it's prayer. Some people it's, some people call it quiet time. When I was growing up, you know, in the scripture, you know, in those days, they used to call it quiet time for us. Trying to teach us to disconnect and disengage from all the noise. Spend time in his presence. They taught us back then that during that quiet time, you must read the scriptures and God will speak to you. This is how they taught us. And God not speak to you when you are not in your quiet time, but they were teaching us that, you know. Practice his presence. Practice that. It's a time of revelation, you know, during that time of rest. It's a time when God restores your soul. Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restoreth my soul. Praise God. Now, what does this convocation mean for you today on this first day of this seventh month of this year? Well, it's a call for you to stop, return, and listen. That's right. Stop! You know, all the heavy burdens and so forth, just stop. Cast it upon the Lord. Just stop right there. Return to the Lord and listen. You know, pause from all your busy thing, run up and down and stuff like that. Return to prayer. Return to consecration. Return to worship. We just finished on days of consecration, but consecration is not just a number of days. You know, consecration is for you. I said this before, and I'll say it to you again. The definition of consecration, or my definition at least, is for you to live a life that is prescribed for you by the Lord. That's consecration. You know, that's also sanctification. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. When you do that, some people were called, you know, like Elijah, John the Baptist, were called to wear camel's skin as a reminder of some stuff. When the world has camel's skin, what do you think? You think they wore the smooth side on the inside? No. They wore the rough side on the their skin. You know, that's consecration. Somebody was called, you know, lie on his side for so many days, 390 days. Somebody was called Ezekiel, Jeremiah, put a band around your neck, all these things. Consecration was tough on those prophets in those days. And that person was told to go and marry a harlot. God wanted to send a message, you know, Hosea. One man was told to walk naked, 3.5 years, Isaiah, all these people. You know, some walk barefoot, walk naked, do all this. It was a life of consecration, prescribed. You know, prescribed by God. Now, rest, a time of rest gives you an opportunity to realign yourself to God's divine purpose for your life. What is the purpose of God for your life? Is it just for you to go to work, you know, morning to night, or even if you are not working for somebody else, you're working for yourself? Some people work for themselves and it's just as busy. Sometimes even busier. You know, is that the only purpose in life? Or do we just go through this routine? But a time of rest is a time of rediscovery. It's also a marvelous thing. In September, by the grace of God, the marvelous September to remember event will be a call, will be another convocation like that. And that's time physically, we gather together. Psalm 133 says it's a time, it's a beautiful time. That's another convocation, you know. Now, the prepare part of this lesson is for you to prepare for what God is about to do. God has announced, you know, the season of rest. And the season of rest will precede the season of release. R in power is to release your faith. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, when you're resting and refocusing and regrouping, you can release. You know, after the layover, the plane has refueled and is ready for another takeoff. Ready to take off again. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? Lay down your burdens. Come to a place of rest. Hear His voice. Renew your strength. Realign your priorities and prepare for a divine shift or rearrangement or movement. See, now I believe, and I'll be prophesying and declaring this in a moment, that this month will create a shift in your life. Glory to God. You know, if you believe it, you can put your amen in the chat. It's going to create, I mean, it's going to happen, because the Lord said, go do it. I was going to do something else. It's still aligned somehow. You know, the Holy Spirit found a way for me to reconnect this to the power message. But I said, look, it is the first day of the seventh month. You got to do this. And I said, I think there's a scripture like that. You know, the Holy Spirit, and He showed it to me. I said, yeah, it makes sense now. So now I'm going to release this. It's a prophetic moment right now. This is a pause, but it's not just a pause. There is a prophetic moment for you right now. God is calling you into a place of divine rest where He can release fresh power, refuel. You're ready to take off again. Yeah, the plane has landed for a little bit. Refuel. Ready to take off. My goodness. We're ready to take off into the second half of this year with fresh clarity, fresh fire, fresh anointing, fresh revelation. And we're ready to release our faith. Praise God. So, let the trumpet sound. Let the convocation begin. Now, I'm not calling for another fast. Some people say, well, it's going to task us to fast again. No, convocation doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means a realignment of our lives with God's call. That's all it is. That's what convocation is. You know, gathering of the people aligned with His call. A season of rest to restore your soul. He restored my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's a season of rest. And we are calling for that. Now, I am going to do a prophetic release right now. We started it yesterday. It was called a crossover, you know, yesterday. And the Spirit of God said, well, crossover prophetically. Take your wife, your children, whatever. All the good stuff. Don't leave them behind. Leave only the negative and the distracting stuff behind. The little foxes that spoil the vine, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the clamor, and all of that. Leave those behind. Leave the sickness, leave disease, leave heavy burdens. Leave the disappointments, the failures. Leave those things behind. Leave those things behind. And even the stagnation. Yeah. So this call is not for us to be stagnant. This call is actually move forward. But before you move forward, you refuel. You know, make sure you have enough supply for the next phase of the journey. The angel came to Elijah and said, look, this journey that's ahead of you is a long one. Yeah, so give him something. Came back a little later. Gave him something else. Said, go in the strength of this meat now. And he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. You know, but it was a time that he stopped. He was running and stopped. And then he got refueled and then he had to go. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and it was a preparation for something that he would experience. A part of the preparation that led to his translation, you know. And so this is a call for preparation. Now, are you ready? Because in a moment, I am going to release the word of the Lord prophetically, Rema, You know, you heard the logos now. I've shown you the scriptures for these things. Now I am going to release the word of the Lord to as many as are heavy laden. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's not for everybody. If you're not laboring and you're not heavy laden, well, maybe you don't need it. So you don't need to come. But Jesus said, all ye that labor. So he targeted a specific audience. Laboring, you are heavy laden. You are laboring because there are things that have lingered. Things, breakthrough that you have been wanting and it's not happening. Prayers that you have been praying but no results. You know, or whatever. Today, if you will hear his voice, well, let's believe together for a release. Glory to God. Because God called for it. He said, tell the people, God told Moses, call them and tell them, this day, I begin to break your burdens. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to prophesy over this room, and I'm doing it already. Father, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy over everybody that's in this room. I prophesy life into the dead things. Glory to God. And I say, those things are not dead. They're only sleeping. And Jesus said, I go to wake him up. Glory to God. Now, I command those things that appear dead in your life. Come back to life in this month, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Because it is the month of rejuvenation. That's right. You heard it. Rejuvenation. Glory to God. That's another R for you. The Lord is calling you into a place of rest. Come. Sometimes we've been so burdened. We're almost even giving up. The Lord said, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's a month that you're going to get strategy from the Lord. I call for a release of fresh instruction. Glory to God. Now, you can be standing in the gap and praying for somebody else that's not in the room too. Maybe you're praying for your children. The Lord is going to give them fresh instruction. You and your children. That's what he says, Psalm 115, verse 14. The Lord will increase you and your children. What's going to increase? Strategy, instruction, inspiration of the Almighty. According to Job 32 and verse 8, will increase for you in this month. Praise God. There'll be many testimonies. Lord, let there be a release of fresh inspiration. And will even blow the minds of the people. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you've never known. Not what we've known, not where we've been, but where we've never been, where we've never known. The Lord is bringing it in this month, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. A time of rest, even. From the burden of pain and sickness and disease and affliction and all these other things. The enemy shall no longer exact upon you. Hallelujah. Beginning on this first day of this seventh month of this year. Tell the people that you shall have a Sabbath. Rest prophesied over you in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. I prophesied for you. The Lord says, the Lord himself swear. God doesn't need to swear anything. God says it and it's done. That's it. But if the Lord swears, that's serious business. The Lord swear on your behalf that I will no longer, saith the Lord, give your corn to be meat for your enemies. Enough of that already. Praise God. You have labored, but your enemies have eaten what you labored. God said, no. That's it. I'm done with that. Beginning on this day, the seventh month, the this first day, tell the people, it's a time of rest. I swear, the Lord said, by my own right hand, that I will no longer, your corn shall no longer be given to your enemies. Neither shall the stranger drink, you know, your wine for the which you have labored. Not anymore. But you that have labored it, glory to God, labored for it, you will, you that have gathered it and labored for it, you will eat it, saith the Lord. The labor that you have put in, your tears of faith return unto you in a harvesting of joy. Glory to God. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed and weeping shall doubtless come again, beginning this month. And on this first day, I declare it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let the heavens hear my voice. Glory to God. Give ear. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Now give ear and hear my voice. Praise the Lord. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine today has dropped as the rain. Glory to God. My speech has distilled as the dew. Even the small dew upon the earth. Showers going to bring forth in the lives of people. Why? Because I have published the name of the Lord. And I have published the word of the Lord today. The word of the Lord was given. God gave the word. I published it to the people today. The Lord also sent his word and he healed them. And we have sent the word of the Lord today. The Lord is our rock. His work is perfect. And all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. A God of truth. He will not lie. And he will not alter the thing that's gone out of his mind. And behold, saith the Lord, I am he. I've frustrated the tokens of the liars. Tokens of liars. Well, the liar said, God is not going to hear you. You've been praying about this thing for months, for years. That's it. Just take it. That's it. You know, no. The Lord said, I will reverse that. Glory to God. I will bring in this month, beginning this day, this first day of this month, you will enter into rest from all your struggles. The things that have eluded you. There were things that God ordained, not just vain things. But the things that God ordained for you but have somehow eluded you, I release by the grace and power and mighty of Almighty God. Let those things come into alignment for you. That's right. You shall now go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains will begin to break forth before you into singing. Glory to God. Even the ground will sing under you, spiritually speaking. That's right. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. Success and celebrations be lined up for you beginning this month. The seed is sown. Glory to God. You will now, saith the Lord, take root downward and bear fruit upward. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Praise God. Therefore, let us rejoice and be glad. For the Lord has done it. Glory to God. Let's rejoice and be glad. For the season of rest has come for the people of God. The Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. Not that he will do it, but he's already done it. I have broken, saith the Lord, the gates of brass, and I cut asunder the bars of iron. And I said to Pharaoh, let my people go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now let the waves, the proud waves, the waves of the sea, you know, the raging of the Red Sea that have been proud against God's people, against my people, said the Lord, let those proud waves be gathered together on one side and on the other side, and let the dry land appear. and let the people of God go through in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sakori ba de shitaro labas. Rialabo shanderi makahurianda sikaluda bakaya. Yeah. I can see those proud waves. They were proud. Proud! They can do their proud things on one side and do their proud things on the other side. But their dry land must now appear in the name of Jesus for the people of God to go straight through. And that's you today. This promise is unto you and to your children. That's right. As many as the Lord has given you. We're leaving nobody behind. We've crossed over. We're going over this Jordan. Praise the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Enter ye into the rest of the Lord. Engage, spiritually speaking. And the Lord said, look, it is time for you to go forth and engage. Rise up! Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. And take your journey. Spiritually speaking, even though it's a time of rest, it's also a time for you to advance and pass over this Ammon River, or cross over this Jordan, or cross over from the first half to the second half. I've given it into your hand, and you begin to possess it. Contend with the devil in battle, for the Lord is your banner. He's gone before you. And the Lord said, I will go before you. My presence shall go before you, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.